107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The Democratic National Committee begins today in Chicago. The speakers tonight include Hillary Clinton and First Lady Jill Biden. The keynote address will be given by President Joe Biden. Security is ramped up outside the convention center with protests, especially by those calling for an end to the Israel-Hamas war expected. Pioneering talk show host Phil Donahue has died.
Phil was really interested in the news of the day. And he was the first person ever to put the audience on camera. He's the granddaddy of them all.
That's his wife, actress and activist Marlo Thomas, in an interview in 2010 with ABC News. Phil Donahue was 88. Expelled New York Congressman George Santos will appear today in federal court. The former Republican lawmaker is expected to plead guilty to a number of fraud charges. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
News. I'm Terry Bell at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. While the DNC is in Chicago, there'll be plenty of political activity in Wisconsin this week. Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate Tim Walz will hold a rally at Milwaukee's Fiserv Forum tomorrow night. Also on Tuesday, Republican running mate J.D. Vance will talk about crime and public safety in Kenosha. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson is a Wisconsin delegate to the DNC. He says Vice President Harris's visit to Milwaukee tomorrow shows how seriously Democrats are taking Wisconsin.
Working to reach every single voter and not taking any votes for granted. And the vice president has been here a number of times showcasing to voters in Milwaukee and across Wisconsin that she values this state and she's looking to earn every single vote here.
Johnson on WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A popular park in Duluth held a celebration of art this weekend. According to a Northern News Now report, art in Bayfront Park took place on Saturday and Sunday, giving artists from across the region an opportunity to share their work with the community and connect with potential customers. Over 150 artists were invited to take part in the event. The event also featured the Twin Ports Music Festival during the celebration. The art on display featured a variety of mediums, from painting to jewelry to ceramics and more. Some Bayfield residents are speaking out against a proposed cell tower in the area. According to a Northern News Now report, developers have submitted plans to build a nearly 300-foot cell tower that local residents worry could affect their property values and cause light pollution in the nearby Apostle Islands. Critics of the proposed cell tower claim they haven't been given enough of an opportunity to offer their input on the plans. Documents submitted to Bayfield County indicate the tower would carry Verizon service. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers sweep the Guardians. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 2-0 shutout of the Cleveland Guardians that completed a 3-game sweep, winning their fifth in a row. Colin Ray pitched a no-hitter through 5 2/3 innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
He's just been an incredible anchor. You know, he really has. He gives you it every time out.
The Brewers GM Matt Arnold telling reporters he and Murphy met last week with Christian Yelich to convince him it was time to consider back surgery.
A couple days ago, Murph and I met with Yelich to talk about what was going on with him and his rehab. Pretty honest with each other about kind of where he was, the hard work that he's put in, and I've seen him, I've watched him work hard on what he's doing in the weight room, everything to come back, and unfortunately it just wasn't working for him.
NFL, the Packers lose to the Broncos 27-2 last night in Denver.
Well, that was a long night. I was hoping that our guys would come out with more strain, effort, grit after kind of getting humbled the other day in practice, and then to have it happen again, not where we want to be.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today and quite comfortable with calm winds out of the northwest. High temperatures are hitting the low 80s. This as a high-pressure system settles in overhead, keeping us dry all week long. A few clouds build in tonight with low temperatures falling to the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Earl Ingram.
Let's go to Lynn for Kamala.
I met Kamala, and she's super intelligent. She will select people who are competent in their field.
So, Sandy, you don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy.
Well, he's going to select loyal people. Project 2025 seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
It's the Democratic National Convention, everybody, and I could not be more excited. It kicks off with President Joe Biden, and I'll be joined by County Executive David Crowley.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Mayer on Air.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
On the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, back at the world headquarters, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. And here joining me live from the United Center that music means one and one thing only, the great Michael Jordan, the home, well, almost the home of where it all happened here in Chicago. Trigvy Olson joins me from the Lincoln Project here at the stage. Trigvy, great selection.
I thought you were introducing me with Sirius here at the United Center.
I know, right? That could very well be the case. We are excited to be with you here live from the United Center at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Going to be a great week here, a great group of shows. All of many of our hosts are going to be here live on location. A great shot there, our chief engineer Corey Hartman getting what it looks like here at Press Row, or at least a section thereof. Let's lay the land for you here, Trigvy. And of course, the United Center, a new venue, not necessarily where the Bucks played in their heyday, but here we're kind of west of downtown Chicago.
It is where the Bulls played, though, in their heyday.
Well, yeah, that's true. But we are west of downtown Chicago here, just west of the West Loop, quote unquote, where we've been staying here for at least the part of the weekend. And it's a beautiful venue here, unlike what we saw in Milwaukee with the Republican National Convention, where the convention was in the Fiserv, where the Bucks play. And then we were next door in the Panther Arena, home of UW-Milwaukee Panthers. And then we had the Hyatt Hotel. Things are spread out here a little bit in some ways. We have the delegates at the McCormick Center, or the McCormick Convention Center, closer to the lake, kind of nearer to Soldier Field. And then the actual convention itself is here in the United Center, as we say, just west of downtown. The media, though, is in this atrium. So we're right in the same building as the bowl, as they say, the floor where the Bulls play. That's where all the big speeches are going to be happening tonight. Of course, tonight we welcome, or not we, but the Democratic National Convention. Well, we'd take him, though, if he wanted to stop by, President Biden.
If he wanted to stop by,
we'd take him, you understand? But President Biden is on his way here. He is going to be the keynote tonight, and we're going to see this transition all week long, as tonight it's about honoring Joe Biden and setting things up for the rest of the week, and then ending with Vice President Kamala Harris giving her acceptance speech from the dais, just a few yards from where we're at on the inside of the United Center. Trigvy, I know you flew in last night. We've been here since Friday. I'll give you a little lay of the land, and this is what's different, I would say, so far, just one person's take that was got in there on Thursday, Friday of the RNC versus the DNC. One, security, I would say, is tighter. There is more active. The perimeters are a wider area. Now, part of that might be that the events are broken up into two different sites. There's also been, Trigvy, this note of not necessarily direct credible threats, but more overall threats. And so security, it just seems a little bit tighter here at the DNC.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like physical threats, though. I don't know that that's the term I'd use to describe it. I think they're worried about the protesters, quite frankly. Now, is that a threat? I think it's more like a disruption than a threat. I mean, they're probably worried about that, too. But, yeah, I would say, so this is, you know, now granted, this is the first Democratic convention I've been to. And as I was saying to somebody else, there were lots of things I thought that would be on my bucket list. I never really thought that I'd be at a Democratic convention, but I'm glad to be here. Mm-hmm. But I've been to a lot of Republican conventions. I thought Milwaukee had the tightest security of anyone that I've ever been to. Yeah, for sure. And this one. Yeah, I don't know. This is a pretty orderly process. I mean, people were complaining about the lines, but I'm going to be honest with Todd. Never been to a convention where people didn't complain about the lines.
Right.
And usually when I was at Republican conventions, I had a pass where I got to skip the line. So there was that.
You have the VIP, the inside track.
When you're with the campaign, it's a little...
Right.
Yeah, you reach a certain stature, you don't...
Well, la-dee-da. We can't
but you
all
know
be
what?
The stature
you know
that
what?
You
were all, we were all standing in the media line, and Terry McAuliffe got to breeze by all of us, too. So, yeah.
For those that don't know, that might not be regular listeners or viewers of the show, Trigvy, of course, like myself, a former Republican, grew up in western Wisconsin in River Falls, worked for people in the state of Wisconsin on the Republican side, and then ended up going to on the national side, ran Mitch McConnell World for a while, and also then worked for...
But I didn't completely run it. But yeah, I was pretty senior part of it. Yeah.
And then you worked for the late, great Senator John McCain in his presidential race and fought against autocracies and for democracy around the world. You bring up the protests, Trigvy. I rode a lot of Uber so far this weekend. And this is what I like to say. I drove Uber for about a year. And I tell people, everybody should drive taxi or Uber at one point in your life because you learn a lot about life. You learn a lot about people. And so I love it when I talk to my cabbies or my Uber folks. And one of the things that my Uber drivers were saying is a lot of folks that live in downtown Chicago were trying to get out because of this concern over the protest. They had the first one last night on Michigan Avenue, and from all reports I've seen, it went fine. It wasn't a big deal. No violence, no vandalism. So I think that's the hope here, is that things stay orderly, things stay calm. People can certainly exercise their First Amendment rights, but I think we have to be careful on this narrative to not over blow it up here and make more of it than it really is.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Now, that being said, you know, my strategy on all of these kinds of things, having been to a lot of different things, whether it's this or the Super Bowl, and I'm really blessed. Like, there's a lot of times where I wake up, I've had opportunities in my life where I wake up and I think, how did this boy get from River Falls, Wisconsin to here? But I will tell you, you know, I flew in late last night intentionally to avoid the crowds, although flying from D.C. to a place where the convention's going on, is you're on a packed airplane either way. And I'm going to try and get out of Dodge on Thursday night just to avoid the rushes. And, you know, for those of you who, if you get an opportunity like that, my strategy is always get in and out before everybody else. If you can be on the move before or after them, that's the best way to go.
Right. So. Absolutely. I want to play one cut, Mr. Zomers, because Vice President Harris is already in town by reports here, and she did a great tour of Pennsylvania with Governor Tim Walz, and they were in a bus. These are the way to go, in my opinion. I know McCain did this, Bush did this, Obama did this. And so Harris and Walz were, and by the way, Vice President Harris took questions from reporters this weekend and was asked, why are you doing this? Why are you going around the country in a bus? I thought this was a great answer. Here's Vice President Harris on the road in a bus over the weekend.
Pennsylvania, since you became the Democratic nominee, do you feel like you have ground to make up here?
I feel like we need to earn everyone's vote. And that means being on the road, being in communities where people are, where they live, whether it be a high school football team and being there at their public school while they're there at practice and talking to their coaches, whether it means going to the local fire station and talking with our incredible firefighters about what they need and what they have a right to expect, such as that we are going to pay attention to how they give up so much to keep communities safe, what they do to preserve what we want in terms of a quality of life, and we need to give it back to them in terms of better equipment and the work that they do every day. So I'm going to be out here with Tim, with the second gentleman, with Mrs. Walls, and we're going to be working on earning every vote between now and November.
I thought that was great, Trigvi. I thought it was cockiness there. There's a humility to it, and saying that we need to show up to earn people's vote. That sounds like, to me, a politician, a leader who gets it.
Yeah, I mean, she's running it. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, what you have is a campaign that's about optimism and belief in the greatness of America and an understanding of what has made traditionally America great, and a grievance-filled rant by a two-year-old enabled by a bunch of appeasers and wannabes.
Yeah, exactly. Here's another cut, and again, it shows you the mindset coming into this week that there's nothing being taken for granted, that Kamala Harris gets it. She was asked again about this campaign, and does she consider herself an underdog? Here's Harris on the road this weekend.
Says a new poll shows that you're 3 points up nationally. What's your response to this? Do you still consider yourself the underdog here?
I very much consider us the underdog. We have a lot of work to do to earn the vote of the American people. That's why we're on this bus tour today, and we're going to be traveling this country as we've been and talking with folks, listening to folks, and hopefully earning their votes over the next 79 days.
Again, talking about saying, look, she knows she's the underdog here. I think that's absolutely the right way to go, and not taking anything for granted.
Yeah, you always got to run like you're behind. I mean, that was one of the first lessons. Honestly, I think it was Bob Knowles. You used to always say that. For you got to be pretty old to know who Bob Knowles was. He was like a state senator in the 60s from Wisconsin. But when I was a kid growing up, my parents were tight with Bob Knowles. Bob Knowles used to always say, Vernon Thompson used to always say, run like you're 10 points behind, even if you're 10 points ahead. Yeah. But again, I think here's the thing. What we have is a contrast between a campaign, the Donald Trump campaign, that is all about personality being run under a strategic assumption that they're going to be running against Joe Biden, so that they would be seen as the younger, more vile, lower level of dementia candidate. And now they find themselves running against Kamala Harris, who's quite frankly running a campaign of optimism, of hope, and based on the notion that America is great, and that yes, there are things that need to be fixed, but offering up solutions. And you see that in Tim Walz in the pick. And you know, honestly, these guys, they're walking around on the Republican side sucking on lemons and grapefruit, all grumpy all day long. And you've got, you know, this is the thing I said the other day on this show, that, and I'm going to apply this beyond Scott Walker, that Scott Walker was not a bright man, but he knows what politics is. I'm amending that because he tweeted over the weekend. And honestly, this is true of all of these people who are appeasing. They're not bright, and they're not good at politics. They're just not.
Yeah. No, it's very true. About a minute left here, Trigvi. What do you think the key for the Democrats is? What do they have to do this week for this to be a success?
They have to recognize that one, they need to have the people on the far left need to understand one of the rules of dealing with autocrats. It's rule number three, actually, of the rules that I wrote, is not to hand battering rams to the other side with which to beat you, which means if you care about the Palestinian cause, if you really think that jumping on stage and creating a disruption is working to that end and helping the Palestinian cause, you're living in a fantasy world. Second thing is they've got to communicate to the kind of people in Wisconsin who are going to make the choice.
Going to come back live here from the United Center in Chicago. The great Rick Smith from the Rick Smith Show is here live on location. He's going to be sitting right next to Trivi. Come on back. It's the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Our southern border is in chaos, with drugs and criminals flowing into our country. But sanctuary cities protect illegal immigrants who commit crimes from being deported. Like an illegal immigrant arrested for battery in Madison. He should have been deported. Instead, he was released back into the community and went on to assault several more women, including a 13-year-old girl. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted 9 times to support federal funding for sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration officials and release these dangerous criminals back onto our streets. And Senator Baldwin voted for amnesty for 11 million illegals, including convicted criminals. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-1068, the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act. Stop protecting illegal immigrants and start protecting Wisconsin. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show, live on location at the United Center in Chicago. Beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Beautiful weather. Skies are blue. Deep dish pizza is fantastic. We're here in the home of Michael Jordan, or at least the Bulls, here in Chicago. Trigvy Olson from Lincoln Project joins me here at the desk. And Trigvy, we are joined by a very special guest right now. She is Sky Perryman from Democracy Forward. Sky, thank you so very much for taking the time. Rick Smith is on deck. He's in the on-deck circle. Right now, we're happy to have Sky with us. Welcome.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Democracy Forward, what you folks are about, and what you're doing here this week.
Yeah, so Democracy Forward, we're a legal organization. We represent people and communities across the country going to court to advance democracy and progress for all people. We were founded in the wake of the 2016 election when we saw in the early days of the prior Trump administration a number of harmful and unlawful activities that the administration was engaging in that was harming people and communities across the country. So our organization lawyered up. We went to court. We took over 100 court actions against the prior administration, winning a lot of them, stopping a lot of problematic policies that were seeking to suppress the right to vote or undermine public education or undermine access to health care. Since that time, we have been in state and local communities helping people in communities in places like Texas and Florida and Arkansas and Ohio. So many states across the country use their voice in court. And we're also really concerned about Project 2025 and have done a lot of work to educate the American people about what we believe is a very extreme threat to our democracy.
So talk a little bit about what you guys do in Wisconsin. So I have some knowledge of what you guys do in Wisconsin, but go ahead.
Well, we've done a number of things.
Because it's important.
But you know, this probably what you're referring to is when there was an effort in Wisconsin to prop up, you know, the big lie and election denialism. Mm-hmm. And we saw the Office of Special Counsel seek to actually destroy the evidence, destroy records of their scheme to undermine democracy and to deny the election. And our organization went to court on behalf of a great client, American Oversight, a government watchdog group. And we were able to secure a complete victory and complete settlement. The Wisconsin Office of Special Counsel admitted that it had, in fact, broken the law, and we were able to ensure that that doesn't, you know, we hope that won't happen again.
Talk a little bit about, because I know you do a lot of work with reproductive rights.
Yes.
And that's an issue in this campaign for
yes.
so many people, not just women. One of the people that Trigvy and I are really high on is the Democratic candidate for United States Congress in Wisconsin.
Dr. Lyerly. I mean, look, we don't do a lot of political campaigning. We're a nonprofit and nonpartisan organization. But I'll tell you, I was the general counsel of the American College of OBGYNs prior to becoming the CEO at Democracy Forward. And Kristen Lyerly is an amazing physician, amazing advocate, has been fighting for people and communities and women and children and communities for her entire career. I have seen her on the front lines of so many important policy battles. She used her voice as a physician advocate, and I'm excited to see what we have, what will be in store for her next.
And she's a wonderful person.
She is a wonderful person.
She's
a wonderful person.
She was on our show when we were up at our station WGBW up in Green Bay, and I thought she said something that most Wisconsinites, and Trigvy and I both being Wisconsinites, could identify with. She said, as an OBGYN, I wish that there would never have to be an abortion. personally, that's what I would wish. But she said, we don't live in that world. And what I want is safe and accessible health care for women when those tough decisions have to be made. I thought that was a great way to put it on that issue that any reasonable person could relate to and say, yeah.
Well, what we know about people in Wisconsin, we know about people in my home state of Texas and people across the country, is that people may have any number of unique personal views about reproductive health care, about a number of things in life, but about reproductive health care, about abortion. But what the vast majority of people over and over, and the data has always shown us this, now we're seeing the voting tallies show us this, but the data has always shown us that the vast majority of people in this country are just deeply uncomfortable with the government having a role in those types of deeply personal decisions. And so I think that is also something, you know, regardless of sort of geography or community, you do have people in this time saying, wait a second, even if, you know, whatever I might want to do with my life, whatever might make sense for me, I don't, you know, I'm not comfortable with the government being involved in that. And with doctors, I mean, they're on, you know, we're representing the OBGYNs in Texas and at the Supreme Court. I mean, they're really
under siege
mm-hmm. and are facing criminal, you know, penalties, threats of criminal penalties for doing their job in times of an emergency. Mm-hmm. And so, so I think Dr. Lyerly certainly has, a lot of good perspective on that with all of the things she's seen and done.
This is the thing on that issue, and I know, you know, with one of the organizations, it's a client of mine, I do a lot of work with, we're doing a lot of stuff with you guys as it relates to Project 2025. But when you think about the abortion issue, what I find as a former Republican and as somebody who still considers myself a conservative and actually pro-life with two daughters, I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what kind of shotgun I want to own. And I'll tell you what, I'll be damned if I want some theocrat telling my daughters what they can and can't do. I want that decision to get made with their physician and within our family if they're ever in the position where they have to make that decision, right? And when you talk about that, when you talk about Project 2025, like, for example, we're not going to help people who are diabetic and need insulin, that stuff is quite frankly weird. It is weird in Texas. It is weird in Wisconsin. It is just, they are weird ideas.
I think it's worse than weird. I think it's deeply harmful to so many people. Yeah, I mean, people across the country. I mean, they're, you know, you go to work, you work overtime, you want to get overtime. That's on mm-hmm. the chopping block mm-hmm. in Project 2025. Yes. You get pregnant, you want to have a kid, you end up in an emergency situation, you present to the emergency room, places like Texas, you can't get care right now. That's on the chopping block in Project 2025 and in our communities across mm-hmm. the country. So I think it's, you know, you can say weird. I think that's fine to say, but I also think it's just deeply, deeply troubling.
I want to pick up what Trigby said, but a minute and a half left. Kamala Harris has made freedom her big narrative here. From day one, we've had George Michael's Freedom as our theme song. But what Trigby just said is that people want freedom to be able to have a shotgun to go hunt, but freedom for women to have access, freedom for people to get jobs and freedom for women to have rights to get divorced. I mean, I think freedom is just the great word here, the overarching narrative for this convention.
Well, we just, at Democracy Forward, and this is, you know, outside of the political context, even in the legal context, we've just released a report, you can go on our website, called Freedom on the Brink and the Path Forward, where we catalog what we see in communities across the country and in courts across the country. The one thing that's important, and I know your listeners know this because you're seeing it in Wisconsin and so many places, these are not ideas that are academic, and they're not ideas that could only happen in the future. Mm-hmm. They are happening now. Women are being denied emergency care now in places like mm-hmm. Texas. People are denying the elections or seeking to do so now in places like Wisconsin. And so that's what's really important, is that we all do what we need to do in this moment.
Sky Perryman, where can people get involved if they want to for Democracy Forward?
Go to democracyforward.org. Follow us on all the social media sites. Download the People's Guide to Project 2025. Check out our Freedom on the Brink report, democracyforward.org.
Sky Perryman from Democracy Forward, thanks for taking the time to stop by our booth. You're doing great work. We really appreciate
you.
Have a great day.
Thank you
so much. Stay tuned. Rick Smith is now on deck. We'll come back, talk with him about his thoughts on this convention and about the working folks in the United States of America. This is the All Ball Show, live on location from the United Center in Chicago on the Civic Media Ready Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. We'll be right back.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
National 4-H Dairy Conference is coming up at the end of September and is a great learning experience for high school age students. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Charlie Crave, the president of the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation, explains what can be expected from this year's National 4-H Dairy Conference.
Well, we have some great mixers and opportunities to meet each other from around the country. We also have speakers from throughout the industry, so we might have AI representatives, foreign sales managers for some of the firms, team builders from the university who have done international development work. We visit Bolstad's, some farms, Hordes Dairyman Publishing in Fort Atkinson, and we spend an afternoon and evening on the Crave Brothers Farm and Cheese Factory in Waterloo. So there we have some presenters, we have a meal and a dance in the machine shed.
Charlie Crave explaining what can be expected from this year's National 4-H Dairy Conference. And I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report, and your midday markets are coming up right after this.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report. And remember to follow along with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can find it on your app store or download it on our website, thefarmwi.com. Now for your midday markets from Chicago. September corn is trading at 375 and three quarters, up 5 1/4. December corn is trading at 397 and a quarter, up 4 3/4. September soybeans are trading at 949 and a half, up 10 3/4. November soybeans are at 969 and a half, up 12 1/2. September wheat is at 527, down 3. Class 3 milk for September is trading at 22 a hundredweight, up 9 cents. And Class 3 milk for October is trading at 22.11 a hundredweight, up 7 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today and quite comfortable, with calm winds out of the northwest. High temperatures are hitting the low 80s. This as a high-pressure system settles in overhead, keeping us dry all week long. A few clouds build in tonight with low temperatures falling to the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 72.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
Saving money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all our great deals going on in our weekly flyer.
Save big money at Menards.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, it's producer Conrad. Pete will be back from vacation Monday with guests Rob Thomas and Bill Leff. The Democratic National Convention is next week, so join the Nightlight stream from 7 to 9 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, or X.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Oh,
wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back live to the United Center here in Chicago, Illinois, home of the 2024 Democratic National Convention. Glad to have you along across the Civic Media Radio Network, also on the Civic Media app. Remember now, the best day to download the Civic Media app was yesterday. Unfortunately, can't do that. But today is the second best day. You can simply go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, in your Apple or Android device. It takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app, you can listen to us worldwide on that. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a former Republican like myself, is here at the table. And boy, howdy, we might as well just end the show for the entire week now, because this is one of the guests I had on the list. I said, if only we could get Rick Smith. And here we got to meet him finally in person this morning. I know, Trigvi, you've been on the show before. Rick Smith has the wonderful Rick Smith Show. You can hear it every evening right here on the Civic Media Radio Network from 10 until 11, Monday through Friday in the evening. And he also has the 5 to 6 p.m. TV show on free speech. Rick Smith, thanks for being with us here. Welcome.
Todd, thanks for taking time for me.
Oh, thank you for taking time for us. I've been a fan of the show for a long time. And in particular, a couple of years ago for the midterm elections, you took your show on the road. And you spent a lot of time in Wisconsin. And that's when I said, by golly, this guy gets it, because he showed up in places. You're like at Stevens Point, mm-hmm. talking to Mayor Wiese. You were in industrial towns. You were in places where jobs are not there anymore. And you talked to real people. Tell us why you did that tour and what you learned.
The reality is, I grew up in Cleveland, and as a kid, I watched the city deindustrialize. Mm-hmm. And what I watched were friends, neighbors, their family lose those jobs. And the transformation from a solid middle class existence to poverty was very difficult for them. So as you see these jobs go away, you see these opportunities go away, what you see, our lives get much worse. So what we decided in 2022 was we wanted to go to places that used to be, you know, like Toledo, Ohio used to be the glass capital of the world. Akron used to be the rubber capital, Eau Claire. They used to be a rubber producer. We went to those places that used to be, and we're talking about how do we make these places that are going to be. And it's the policies that Biden was pushing at the time to reshore manufacturing, to invest in our infrastructure. That was the point. We need to do more of this, and not on a partisan basis. We need to rebuild our country and make this country a place worth handing off to our children. Sadly, I don't think it is yet, but I'm thrilled that we're on the path to getting there.
We've done this show a couple of times, more than that now, from Eau Claire. And we had B.J. Holler as the producer of this great documentary, When Rubber Hit the Road, about the closure of the Uniroyal plant up there and what that meant to that community. And what it certainly was sad in many ways, but being there at that world premiere of this movie, what I also took away was the hopefulness of working folks all across this, our state of Wisconsin, across this country, because when looking in the eye of adversity, they said we're going to do something good, and they've rebuilt their entire downtown. To me, working folks just have this spirit that they're not going to quit.
No, absolutely. And but you have to give them the opportunity. You got to give them the tools. Yeah. You've got to have the policy initiatives. Bad policy got us here. We opened up our borders to trade. We had really lopsided trade deals. We allowed foreign corporations to run away looking for cheap, exploitable labor and then bring those profits back. We allowed this stuff to happen through bad policy. What Biden has done has moved us in a way that is going to hopefully down the road move us away from that stuff. I think he has been the transformational president to move away from a lot of the neoliberal trade policies of the past, the neoliberal tax policies, and hopefully moving us back to an ideal like my grandparents fought for.
Well, let's talk for a second about Joe Biden. Tonight's kind of his night. He's going to be speaking tonight from the dais. And listening to your show, and a lot of times I do it in my truck, just driving late at night. And one of the cool things I thought, you have people call in, there are certainly more from the far left side, that I'm not really happy with Biden. And you've been a constant defender, saying, look, he doesn't always ring my bells either, but he's trying more than a lot of other people. And I love the fact that you get that.
He wasn't my first choice,
yeah,
quite frankly. He wasn't my second choice. Was my third choice. He was my fourth choice, but he was the best choice. Mm-hmm. He was the guy for the moment that calmed some of the crazy down. I mean, we went through 4 years of chaos. Mm-hmm. Here was a guy who didn't get involved in any of that. He said, no, look, go ahead. I got work to do. And I call him Jelly Bucket Joe. This is a guy who just shows up every day. He's got mm-hmm. his jelly bucket, going to go to work. And he has done what I've been calling for years. spending money to rebuild our roads and bridges, investing in new technologies, reshoring manufacturing, move in those directions. And the secret sauce of my grandparents' generation, promote organized labor. Use the National Labor Relations Act the way it was meant to, where government encourages people to collectively bargain so that you can solve problems at the workplace, where you don't need laws for everything. You can come to an agreement at a bargaining table. That's something we used to do. And also, by the way, if companies are doing really, really well, those workers get to share in those profits. Imagine that.
Imagine that,
a world,
right?
Where, you know, companies making $1 billion profit, workers make a little bit more.
Let's talk about unions for a second. I come from on one side of the family, farmers, the other side of the family, educators and teachers. My grandmother, you know, grew up on a farm where my great-grandfather didn't think girls should get beyond eighth grade education. She ended up being the first woman to be a dean of university in the state of Wisconsin. And my entire other family are teachers. We've seen in Wisconsin, because of Scott Walker's Act 10, teachers, people like Morris Andrews, the late great leader of the teachers union in Wisconsin, that got educators to, like, you can get good health care, you can get a good paying job that sustained a family. And now Act 10, my sister teaches in the Eau Claire School District and is a type 1 diabetic, and she and her husband both have thousands of dollars in deductible now because the school district up there, which is a good district, but the rights of teachers have been, a lot of it, just taken away.
No, look, back in 2011, when we were sleeping on the floor of your Capitol, when all this was going on, and we were one of the first programs in the country to broadcast out of there, we were saying, this is what's going to get you. It's going to get you poverty wages and poverty situations for your public sector workers. This is all about destroying working conditions. It's all about destroying what Wisconsin had always been, the forward state, the state that, you know, brought us workers' compensation and unemployment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those, they were the firsts for. And now, you know, Wisconsin at that point, you know, were the ones who were taking us backwards. The hope is now you get some sanity in your state. And again, once again, find that forward model.
I just saw a trivia. I'm not sure if you saw this. There was a lot of modeling, and I know polls and modeling are as good as the, you know, that and a cup of coffee. But the point is, there some people are now modeling saying that Wisconsin's legislature, the assembly, it's a 50-50 toss up right now with these new maps, and we might actually see a chance for Democrats to win. Are you seeing that or not really? Not really.
Democrats are going to do a lot better than they did. Like, they still, you know, even if they're going to have to get to like 52% of the statewide vote to have a real shot, which says they're not completely balanced. But some of that, and, you know, it isn't what Scott Walker and the Republicans say. The advantage that Republicans have is there is the Democrat vote is more packed, but it used to be they needed 58% to get to, right, which is never going to happen. So, yeah. But yeah, they could, in theory.
And we're talking with Rick Smith here on the Rick Smith Show. You can hear it every evening, 10 until 11, on the Civic Media Radio Network, and Trigvi Olson on the Lincoln Project. Guys, I want to play a cut, Mr. Zommers, this cut of Trump over the weekend talking about a tariff. A tariff, he said, is a tax on a foreign country. I want to play the clip and come back and get these guys' opinion on it. Here's Trump from over the weekend.
A tariff is a tax on a foreign country. That's the way it is, whether you like it or not. A lot of people like to say, oh, it's a tax on us. No, no, no. It's a tax on a foreign country. It's a tax on a country that's ripping us off and stealing our jobs. And it's a tax that doesn't affect our country. And you can see hundreds of billions of dollars of tariffs on other countries also. I took in.
Rick Smith, as the former Wisconsin basketball coach Bull Ryan, who I know very well, like to say, I might have been born on a weekend, but it wasn't last weekend. Set people straight on this.
No, he clearly doesn't know what a tariff is. But to be honest with you, I'm not an anti-tariff guy. Mm-hmm. I think you do need to have barriers that encourage competition, and we cannot compete head to head with China, given the way the wage, the poverty, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. So I do believe we have to have a way to balance that, and I think tariffs on strategic goods, things that we could produce here, is a smart idea. I think he's just bonkers on this. We're going to have 100% across the board.
Well, that's the point. I mean, 100% tariff, people who are going to pay that are in Eau Claire and Milwaukee and Madison, Richland Center and Green Bay at the end of the day.
Right. But for me, the reality is we used to make things here.
Yeah.
We used to be a country that was self-sufficient, and I'm a firm believer in domestic production for domestic consumption. The things that we need, we should be able to consume. And I think the pandemic really highlighted the fact that we're dependent on the rest of the world for a lot of our stuff. So if there is a breakdown overseas, if there is a log jam at the ports.
China invades Taiwan.
Yeah.
Imagine what that would do.
To me, manufacturing is a national security issue. Always has been.
100%.
And, you know, okay, so I may have to pay an extra dollar for a T-shirt or an extra, you know, 50 cents for something. I'm willing to do that because we were sold this idea of free trade that I'm going to be able to go to the store and there will be an American product there and there'll be a cheap piece of crap from China there. And I'll be able to choose. I may pay more for the American product, but I can have the choice. Well, the sad reality is you go into stores now, there's no American product left.
Yeah, right.
Those companies have been gobbled up because, understand, we're the reserve currency of the world. When we buy something from China, those dollars have to come back here. And that what the hell would they use for? They bought us. Right, we didn't lose millions of jobs. We know exactly where they are. They're in China. Yeah, again, right. I go back to bad policy. Now, do I trust that Trump is going to have the idea of actually doing the right thing? No.
Well, where did he manufacture his own stupid ties?
Yeah. Or those goofy tennis shoes.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, his steaks, I don't know where he bought the meat, but I wouldn't. And I don't even know what kind of meat it was. I have a question for you, Rick, though. Talk about, and this is a place where I think guys like you and I, right? Like, I come from the right of center, and you obviously come from sort of the other side of the spectrum. But when it comes to returning manufacturing, it just makes common sense.
And, without question.
And to some degree, and Biden has been great on that. I was talking to somebody about all that Biden and Harris have been doing about slowly getting the semiconductors and critical pieces of technology back here and creating opportunity to manufacture in the state. Not like Scott Walker did it, where it was a complete boondoggle and basically the state got ripped off to the tune of, what was it, $1 billion?
Yeah.
But, like, actually getting these American companies to build American manufacturing facilities, and in some cases within the NAFTA zone. So they've got some of the work that Americans would be low-wage work being done in Mexico and then bringing it here, and it's the more advanced. I just think to do that, though, successfully requires foresight in terms of, you know, technical
industrial
education.
Policy.
Yes.
An idea of thought. Not this invisible hand nonsense.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the invisible hand's been giving us the invisible finger for a very long time.
Correct. Well, or in Scott Walker's case, literally not even the invisible finger. But Scott, as I said, we're going to have to send him my quote. You know, Scott Walker is not a bright man.
No.
But he does know what love is.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
They have a little tip for tackle.
No, that's good. Good. But here's the thing.
He wrecked the state.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to the point.
He destroyed your state.
Wisconsin had an amazing tradition of certain things, public education being one of them, the Wisconsin idea, conservation, being things that bipartisan people work together. My boss, Tommy Thompson, we work together. We may not have always agreed. We work with Democrats from Milwaukee on education. We worked with Gaylord Nelson, Bill Proxmire on conservation. Scott Walker wrecked all of that. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know that I've ever said this to you when I've been on your show, but I've known Scott Walker since high school at Badger Boys State. He was running for governor of the state then. And what infuriates me about it, which is why I rip on Scott Walker all the time on this show, is that he did that because he was all about running for president and he wanted something and did it on the back of public servants, so that he could be on Fox News.
I see. I'm going to be a lot
and
more
run for president.
You're a lot
He's
more generous.
Pathetic.
You're a lot
He's
more
pathetic.
Generous. At least he was going to get something out of it. I thought it was just for the money.
No, he's wanted to be president. So when we were at Badger Boys State, we were all 16. It's Legion State. We were all trying to get the college girls out behind the dorm.
Gotcha.
Not very successfully. Yeah. Scott Walker was running for president of the United States then. Like, literally, he is that guy.
Yeah. No, I know.
He is no different than Bill Clinton.
You got time for one more segment?
Sure.
6 minutes?
All right. I'm here for it.
You're fantastic. We're gonna come back.
He's done this before,
I know
I
he
think.
Has. Rick Smith of the Rick Smith Show coming on back also. Mr. Trigvi Olsen, your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We're live on location, the Democratic National Convention, the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location here from Media Row in the United Center for the Democratic National Convention. Talking to, of course, Rick Smith from the Rick Smith Show. You can hear it every evening across the network from 10 until 11. You can also see him on Free Speech TV from 5 until 6. Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project also joining me at the table. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you have a question for Rick or Trigvi, Mr. Zomers, is L.A. Tom still on the line, or did he drop off? All right, very good. Let's go out to Los Angeles, California, and L.A. Tom, what do you got?
Well, first I'm going to say, when are we going to learn anything Trump says never really happens? So that I do want to say about him actually doing anything that's good for the United States and not billionaire donors. I am a joyful democracy warrior. I wanted to say to Trigvi, I think Rick Wilson should be the Frank Luntz for the Democratic Party because he's brilliant. I don't believe in Project 2025. I wanted to ask, do you think that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in the Democratic Convention will talk a little bit more about just the three branches of government and how we have to win the Senate and the House in order to get any of their policies through? Because I don't see that yet. And I really would like to see a little bit more of that, because I don't think most American people really understand democracy or the three branches of government, actually.
Sure. Thanks.
And one last thing, Trigvi, I just want to say, this is the way I message it, because I am pro-life. I'm against war. I'm against pretty much anything that can destroy life. But I put the framing as a woman's right to choose versus the government's right to choose. And I think women every day choose to have children. So I would really love for us to get out of this whole thing where it's kind of like pro-abortion thing or pro-life. We know what the opposite of pro-life is. It's pro-death. We have to have two nouns. It's got to either be a woman's right to choose or pro someone else's right to choose. And that, in this state, would be government.
Thanks, L.A. Tom. Really appreciate it.
That's a good comment, because I'm not pro or anti-abortion, since you brought that up. I'm pro-safety.
Yeah.
I've got two daughters. I don't want them to have to make the decision like their grandmother's generation had to. I wouldn't be thrilled if they had abortions, but I would be thrilled if they came home alive. So for me, that's the point. I think we need to be talking about things in a much different, I think this is what L.A. Tom was getting to. We need to be talking about things in a different frame.
Yeah.
These binary choices. I think pro-safety can bring someone who is quote-unquote pro-life and someone who is pro-abortion into a middle ground, I think.
Yeah. But what about this Trigvi I always talk about? He worked at the national level for Republicans' narrative. Democrats, seem to be good on policy, and Republicans are usually better at narrative. I think that Kamala Harris and this team in 30 days have just grabbed this by the short hairs, and they've got it.
Yeah.
Because this narrative of freedom, this narrative of bringing people together, joyfulness, somebody on Twitter, I credit him, I can't remember who, said it feels like we're walking away from an abusive relationship. I mean,
Trickvy's exactly right. Because I've been saying for a very long time, Democrats in a street fight would offer to hold your coat.
Exactly.
This group right now, I think they would grab your coat, throw it on the ground, and then wipe you up with it. Right. Because you know, go back to 2016. What was the frame then?
I think they'd throw when it they, over your head and just pound the.
Okay, yeah.
Crap.
What was the frame back in 2016? When they go low, we
go high.
Yeah, and I'm going, no. I played football. When they go after my knees, when they go low, I ram their head to the ground, you know, stomp them in the dirt.
You want to know a funny story about that? So in 2020, Michelle Obama repeated that line, and Lincoln Project tweeted out, "That's okay. You can stay high because we'll knee him in the groin." We used a different term. And okay. we got it back channeled to us that she wasn't very happy about our tweet because it kind of made
because it's the wrong frame. Right. It's the wrong frame.
Right.
It's telling
it
you
was
you're
a good frame for us.
Yeah, it was
that's
great
exactly
for you.
What we were doing.
You got the
that's
attention.
That's what you got to do.
Absolutely.
Seriously. It's what
but
you
this is
do.
Where this is where Tim Walz, the addition of Tim Walz.
Absolutely.
The decision, any presidential candidate, you look at that first decision. Mm. I look at Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
100%. Who was the guy that she picked? What was his name?
Yeah, Tim Kaine.
Okay, that's it. There you go. Not really exciting. Not somebody you remember.
No.
This guy was made in the Petri dish for working class people.
Right.
So that first decision of hers was, I'm going to pull somebody in who might grab your coat and put it over your head and pummel you with it.
Well, this is the thing. This is one of the things that's been so fascinating to me as a Republican who's worked at senior levels in Republican politics, now being in and around Democrats. You think Dick Cheney's ever been in a fist fight? You think Tim Kaine's ever been in a fist fight?
No.
Right. There's the difference. There is an element. There is something important about that, and it sounds sort of weird, but the reality is one of the first things you learn. I grew up playing ice hockey, so I was in a few. Fighting is never fun, even if you're going to win the
sometimes
fight.
Sometimes
you
got to do
it. But sometimes you got to do it.
No, it's like I told
sometimes
my kids.
Sometimes you have to.
Like I told my kids, you know, how you deal with a bully. You got to take a bump.
100%. And Donald Trump, that's what.
And Donald Trump's a bully.
Yeah. 100%.
And that's where I think the difference between what Kamala Harris is going to do in debates as opposed to what Hillary did. Hillary did the Mother May I stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
She was prim. She was proper. She didn't want to, as opposed to when he walked behind her, she should. Right between the eyes.
She made the same mistake that little Marco and Ted Cruz and all the rest of them did. And the truth of the matter is
you call my wife ugly?
Exactly.
We're rolling in the dirt.
But you know, I had a conversation one time. Honestly, this is the thing. I had a conversation with somebody who knows President George W. Bush quite well. And I said to him, what if Donald Trump would have said stuff like that about Laura? Person said he'd have gone right literally over there on the debate stage and put a cowboy boot. Where the sun doesn't shine.
And look, I may get a butt whipping out of it,
right?
But you got to do that.
Yeah,
100%.
It's about respect.
Absolutely.
And clearly, nobody holds him to respect.
Well, except she's been hitting him right in the jaw. And look at how he's responding.
Exactly.
He doesn't know what to do.
Yep.
1 minute left. I want to get your take on this, Rick Smith. This narrative of who's fighting for you, and I love this because we're gonna play more cuts over the weekend of Trump, and then you hear what Walz and Harris are saying. For working people across this state of Wisconsin, across the country, it feels like and sounds like it's Harris and Walz who are going to be fighting for us.
Without question. They're going to pick up the mantle that Joe Biden has created, mm-hmm. and they're going to move this further down the road. You see that with all the labor union folks here. They're excited about the future of better wages, hours, conditions, and a society that we want to hand off to our children with good infrastructure, with good paying jobs. Manufacturing stuff again. Can you imagine that?
Right? Imagine that. Rick Smith, thank you so very much for your generosity of time and for coming on. You can hear his fine program, The Rick Smith Show, every evening from 10 until 11, Monday through Friday across the Civic Media Radio Network, and to watch him from 5 until 6 on Free Speech TV. Rick, thank you so very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it. Good to see you, Trigby.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, good to
more
you,
with Trigby and another Rick. It's Rick Day here at the convention. We have Rick Wilson on the other side, Trigby's boss. Stay tuned for that. It's hour number 2 of the Todd Allball Show live from Chicago. On the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Maggie Dawn.
It's the Democratic National Convention, everybody, and I could not be more excited. It kicks off with President Joe Biden, and I'll be joined by County Executive David Crowley.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll tell you, Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.